Back in the 4th century, when Athanasius was excommunicated because he was doctrinaire and dogmatic about the then young, was only 300 years old, Christian faith, Athanasius was surrounded by heretics. He was surrounded by apostates who had determined that, no, man, that ain't the way the faith ought to be. This is the way it ought to be. And Athanasius said, no, that's not the way it should be. This is the way it should be, the way it has been. It can't be wrong. We've already determined that it's true. And you can't be right because you can't refute the truth. No matter. Well, so says you, Mr. Athanasius. And so this heresy known as the Arianism flourished. So much so that if you were looking for, how much is this like today? If you were looking for a conservative, a liturgical conservative, a liturgical doctrinaire dogmatic member of the Christian church, Catholic church at that time, you'd have found Athanasius and some other laity, most of the clergy, including a very confused pope and a very confused emperor, would have sided against you. Although the pope never proclaimed, he assisted in the effort to defrock Athanasius. But Athanasius didn't, he didn't lash out with anger. He didn't try to go and get, eke out a revenge. Nothing of the sort. He took it, as he should, and held his ground. And pray, this is from the remnant, from the people that with that were with Athanasius. So when you're tempted to think, well, I went on Facebook today and I saw X. And so that means that this is happening. And if this happens, then Y is going to happen. And if Y happens, well, everything's going to suck. Everything's going to stink. Well, as Joseph Pierce told us earlier today, you can't think like that. Athanasius didn't think like that. Driven out of their own parish churches, having been called schismatic, heretical, and disobedient, some of the faithful started to lose heart, to despair, and to even doubt if they were on the right path. The great Saint Athanasius offered the following words of encouragement to the faithful, which remain as true today as they were in his time. Quote, may God comfort you. I know, moreover, that not only this thing saddens you, but also the fact that while others have obtained the churches by violence, gee, where have I heard that before? You are meanwhile cast out from your places, for they hold the places, but you, the apostolic faith, they are, it is true, in the places, but outside of the true faith, while you are outside the places indeed, but the faith within you. Let us consider whether this is, whether is the greater, the place of the place or the faith. Clearly, the true faith. Who then, in other words, let's decide what's better, buildings or the faith? When you say, well, Mitter Church, I can't get the traditional math where I live. Okay, again, what's more important? Do you know the faith? Do you know the catechism? If you can't get it where you live, well, what's important? The building or the actual faith? And I would say the building would include the liturgy that goes on inside. Clearly, the true faith. Who has lost more or who possesses more? He who holds the place or he who holds the faith. Good indeed is the place when the apostolic faith is preached there. Holy it is if the Holy One dwell there. But ye are blessed, who by faith are in the church, dwell upon the foundations of the faith, and have full satisfaction, even the highest degree of faith which remains among you unshaken. For it has come down to you from the apostolic tradition, and frequently has accursed envy wished to unsettle it, but has not been able to.